Today's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 1 through 4 and 24 through 27. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus. He had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul visited with them because they practiced the same trade. He stayed and worked with them. They all worked with leather. Every Sabbath, he interacted with the people in the synagogue, trying to convince both Jews and Greeks. Meanwhile, a certain Jew named Apollos arrived in Ephesus. He was a native of Alexandria. He was well-educated and effective in the use of scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke as one stirred up by the Spirit. He taught accurately the things about Jesus, even though he was aware only of baptism John proclaimed and practiced. He began speaking with confidence in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they received him into their circle of friends and explained to him God's way more accurately. When he went to travel to Acadia, his brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to disciples so they would open their homes to him. Once he arrived, he was of great help to those who had come to believe through grace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
It's horrible to be the preacher's wife. You get stuck with all kinds of jobs when nobody else will do them. Relieve him. Well, here we are again. And for some of us, you know, we've gotten here after an entire life of just simply making it. We receive God's word, sort of. I mean, one can only be told so many times the same thing over and over without stop listening. The novelty, the drama, the questions, they aren't there anymore if they ever were there. I mean, there were just some things that aren't worth worrying about. Things like how a text gets from my phone to your phone in only a few seconds. Or what's at the bottom of a dark hole. You know, the black hole that scientists talk about, it thrills them. But it really doesn't mean anything to us. We could care less. You know, the same thing goes for half the stories in the Bible. We could care less. I mean, come on. How is it going to change your life if you can quote the genealogy of Noah? And what difference does it make if Jesus took the long route or the short route from point A to point B? Who cares? And what's true for Jesus? It's equally true for Paul. I mean, have you ever stopped and wondered why we spend so much time mapping his travels like they make a big difference? I mean, does it really change anything that he went from Athens to Corinth? Where he found a couple of workers in leather. They made tents, and their names were Aquila and Priscilla. Does it really make any difference? Well, to be honest, it does. Because you see, passages like the one that we just read, they're not so much about Paul as they are about the people who surrounded him, people who were as common as you and me. people whose stories are much like ours and thus have so much to teach us. Do you remember how today's passage begins? It tells us in the first two sentences so much about Priscilla and Aquila. We're told that they had recently moved from Rome to Corinth. Why? Because the Emperor Claudius had ordered all Jews to evacuate Rome immediately or face the penalty of death. There had been good reason. Because you see, there had been near riots between what we would call the Orthodox Jews and the Jews that were following the way. Rome had its own problems, and so they didn't need these people rioting in the streets. So they were told to get out and not given much time to do it. In other words, Priscilla and Aquila were refugees. They had been forced to leave one place that didn't want them and relocate in yet another place that didn't want them either. To complicate things even further, they were tent makers. Have you ever tried to run a small business in a hostile environment? It's not easy. I mean, it's hard enough to run a small business, but it's made even more so when you're in an environment that doesn't want to accept you. You're always suspect. You're always cast as the victim. You're always at fault, no matter what's going on. And as a result, you are always one look, one comment, one innocent move away from economic disaster. Now, remember last week, we discussed the fact that having a strong faith does not always bring us a blessed and blissful life. That sometimes it's just the opposite. The stronger our faith, the more likely it is that the Holy Spirit's going to call us to do something or to go somewhere that, well, could be dangerous. That's always guaranteed to cause others to react against us. Well, Welcome to the world of Priscilla and Aquila. Because you see, it would have been virtually impossible to find anyone more dedicated to following Christ than they were. And yet at almost every turn, there was even more hardship and danger. It's like they couldn't catch that break. They just couldn't get things to work together. So what did they do? Did they become angry and demonize those who were threatening them? Did they join the effort to meet violence with even more violence? Well, oddly enough, Priscilla and Aquila did just the opposite. In place of reacting to all that was going on around them, they chose to act with radical hospitality, with the same acceptance and love that Jesus had extended to others. They welcomed people into their business. They accepted strangers. They opened their home to those who were seeking a safe place to rest and to think, to study. There's even evidence that they had started a small house church. In the midst of what was a divisive culture, this remarkable couple offered an oasis of peace and acceptance. It didn't matter who you were, where you came from. In many ways, it didn't even matter what you believed. If you needed a place to simply be, Priscilla and Aquila were willing to offer you that place. And they did so. They did so gently and quietly. So humbly. So out of the spotlight. Did you notice how they treated Apollos? There's evidence that he was already considered a budding giant of the church. He was well-educated and articulate, and he knew the scriptures, and he was speaking in the synagogue. And he was good. He was going to be one of those giants, but Priscilla and Aquila noticed just one thing. He didn't really understand about the Holy Spirit. He understood John's baptism, but not the baptism that Jesus talked about. So in place of criticizing him in front of the whole assembly or casting doubt on his ability to help lead, in place of trying to make themselves sound more important than him, they quietly pulled him aside and they politely told him what he needed to know. You see, Priscilla and Aquila, they knew that they weren't intended to be giants. They were instead called to simply share their gifts, to use them in the service of others and of building up Christ's holy church. And yes, they were called to be an example of how to respond in the midst of hostility and doubt. They were an example to others of how to react in a dangerous situation, of how to move on when life seemed to have turned against them. You know, one of the absolute worst sermons I ever heard was based on this passage. It was poorly constructed. Preacher talked in circles. He rambled on and on. And to make matters worse, he read directly from his manuscript throughout the entire service. All we saw was the top of his head. I can tell you it was the most painful 20 minutes I have ever spent sitting in a pew. This man was awful. But as bad as the sermon was, and despite the fact that he would probably never be recognized for his homiletical ability, the Holy Spirit was still at work through his feeble efforts. Thank goodness. We all have sermons that fall flat. After all these years, I can still tell you the point that he finally made at the end of a sermon. What he said was, the most important thing we can learn from this couple comes from the "and" that is always used when we are referring to them. We always speak of Priscilla and Aquila. And oddly enough, for the most part, it's always Priscilla and Aquila, which was unusual because that puts the woman first. See, whenever they're mentioned in the scriptures, they are always mentioned together. When they act together. When they speak together. When they work together. It didn't matter to them who was leading and who was following. If they happened to be the leader at that time, so be it. But if someone else was, they accepted their expertise, their ability to lead. It was Priscilla and Aquila, and oftentimes it was Priscilla and Aquila and the others. They always acted together. Never trying to outdo each other, never trying to outsmart each other. Never criticizing what the other was doing. They always acted together. Whatever role they happened to be in, their goal was to give the love of Christ to others. To show others the way they should respond. It was so remarkable, given all the chaos that surrounded them. To their credit, it seems like wherever they went, they made a point of treating friends and foe alike. Now I ask you, what better model is there for living a Christian life and building up Christ's church? We're called to stand together. We're called to be that "and" in a society that is more interested in the "I" than the "we." We're called to offer that radical hospitality regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Priscilla and Aquila quietly served the Lord despite what was going on. They continued to love and to reach out, even when those around them were filled with anger and hate. And they did it. They did it as a spirit-led, spirit-filled team. A team that included themselves and others who are willing to live their faith too. To live a faith in such a way that others could come to see it too. And that, my friends, is the lesson that we learn. We don't need a church that is filled with giants. We can only have so many Peter, Paul, and Barnabases. But what we need more than anything are faithful disciples who understand that we are at our absolute strongest when we stand together with each other and with the Holy Spirit. We are the church. We have been called to be Christ's little Christ in the world, to offer others his light and his love. You and me, you and me and the Holy Spirit working together. That's all it takes to be the people and the church we have called to be. Right here, right now. We have the talents and the gifts. All we have to do is use them. By standing together, we can and we will make a difference. As we, in John Wesley's words, offer the world Christ. Priscilla and Aquila did it. And so can we. Let's offer the world what they really need. Let's offer them Christ. To God be the glory. And all God's children say,